I can see clearly.
So with LASIK, the way we do it today, you can have the gift of near and far vision and rejuvenate your eyes and have the vision you had pretty much like you did when you were 25 years old. LASIK, I'm the better today.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was. Mr. Scott Whitney.
This is for Mike. Jazz hands, Mike! Yay! Hey, welcome everybody to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. I am your humble host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa!
Oh. Now we know that's not the right thing.
It means
now
good.
Now I know that's not the right thing.
It means good day versus, or good afternoon versus good evening. Good evening is konnichiwa.
No.
A little bit later, a little bit lower. And I'm joined by my not jelly sweet. Look at her. Today's color, purple. It's Melissa Whitney. Big hand, everybody. Yay. Big thanks. By the way, as you can tell, Chaz. Sorry, Chaz.
They just updated.
He got hit. I had to hit him. That was actually the Dr. Rothman on the video. Thanks, Dr. Rothman, for playing along with us. Hey, on today's show, was moving to Las Vegas a good idea?
Yes.
Did you hear the live studio is telling us the answer is yes. We will decide. And a new favorite five for folks who want to venture away from the Strip.
What?
Bon appetit, baby. That's what I'm talking about. But first, a hello to our live studio audience. Oh, God, jeez. And, of course, the most colorful live chat I've seen so far ever.
Whoa.
Everybody's got a new color. And Jackie's like, change your color, people. I don't want you all in the black lettering. So hello to the live chat being run by Jackie, of course. Thank you, Jackie. It is very pretty. Jackie is correct. Today's over and under.
Over. 45 minutes.
No.
Over.
The over under today will be 55.
Over.
And bet the under people. We don't really have a lot to say.
Over.
True.
55. Okay. I think that's
about right. It's good, huh?
I'd shoot 50.
Yeah. 50. Over under is 50.
Over.
All right. So play both sides. The line has changed. It went from 50 to 55 or 55 to 50. All right. First of all, one of our bestest friends, Jackie, was in town this last weekend. Had a chance to hang out with her. And one of the things that we experienced this past weekend is the kind of thing that makes me proud to be a Las Vegan. And that is, we were at a California Pizza Kitchen at the beautiful
Mirage.
Or
as somebody, she overheard her later saying, California Pizza Chicken.
Yeah, California Pizza Chicken. Which is,
and
you
then
know.
She kept thinking that I was putting chicken in everything I was saying.
Really?
She thought I ordered, God, I can't remember what she thought I ordered. Something, and she thought I had was randomly putting the word chicken in everything I was saying.
You do that sometimes.
No.
So we're sitting at California Pizza Kitchen. By the way, here's a tip, everybody. Here's one of our tourist tips of the day. Listen, if you can hang out with somebody who's got one of them black diamond cards.
Well, just any kind of guest card will get you in.
Oh, it got us in the
like
front
any,
of the line.
Yeah, all you have to do is be a player card to go over there, I think.
Oh, I thought it was a black diamond card. Jackie will tell us.
I think it's just you have to have a player card.
Oh.
Well, I could be wrong.
Let's pretend it's the black diamond card.
I totally could be wrong.
Because remember, we got in the front of the line for the Baccarat thing that
yeah,
back
but
and all.
Yeah, you know, you might be right.
And we got in the front of the line because she
you
was
might
a
be right.
diamond platinum,
you
diamond
might.
Black star, black thing going.
You might be right.
Anyway, that was pretty cool. Anyway, so we're sitting there, and we're having our chicken, apparently. And and we're, you know, just having a good time, just talking and bullshitting and stuff. And these four people come in. Well, it was really 75% of them were there.
It was more like three and a quarter.
It was about three. 3 1/4. I'll give you 3 1/4. Because there is this one guy who was sitting there. Now, he was behind Jackie. Jackie is facing Melissa and myself. There's Jackie over here. There's a guy behind him and her. And he was sitting there, and when he first kind of came up, he looked like he was kind of, and then immediately he came into this position here.
You got pictures?
Yeah, I took a picture of him. That's him.
But look how happy he is.
He has a slight smile. It's a slight smile. Oh, sure.
Do you think he sleeps like that?
But what was fascinating about this guy was he was there for a while, and we thought, oh, this is kind of cute. And his friends were kind of joking and talking to us. And then he started to rock a little bit. It was kind of like a metronome.
It wasn't. There was no good that was going to come out of that.
And then he started
to
do the circle.
Oh,
no. And we're all kind of going, this fella's not going to make it. And so what he did was, you know, usually when you see that happen, what tends to happen is a guy just kind of leans forward and he's out.
Puts their head on the table.
But that's not what this guy did. It was so.
He was fighting it.
It was so impressive. So he starts to do the circle. Now he's got his buddy sitting over here, right? And
no support, by the way. Yeah, they were just totally.
Yeah, they're all best friends you'd ever have. Look at this idiot.
They were trying to swap him for other people's friends.
Right, this fucker's going right.
Remember that?
Yeah, this cat's
we'll
going
trade
down.
We'll trade you one of ours for one of yours.
Right. We're like, yeah, well, okay. So he starts to do his circle, and then it was a little abrupt, actually. He just goes camera one. He literally goes wham, and goes
really
and
fast.
Goes leans really fast towards like a it was like a 45 degree now.
Towards the table.
Had his buddy not been there, that dude would have slammed his head on the table, and that would have been it.
There would have been some stitches in his
feature. Oh, man. But he comes down, his shoulder hits his friend, and his friend's like, I don't know, get off me. Great friends. I think they're from Tennessee or whatever. And hits it, so he kind of slows down, goes, brr, brr, and he was like a weeble. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. So he goes, brr, and he goes, oh. And did it again. And the second time, it wasn't quite as radical of what he did. He did then he was doing the
like
you know,
falling asleep.
He's doing this, shabam, shabam. And we literally, the whole restaurant's like, oh, this is fascinating.
Well, the table sitting across from us is like, hey, we feel like we're in the splash zone over here.
right, on the other side,
because he was kind of facing them.
Oh, they were from Fresburg, I used to call that. That's right.
Well, that probably says a lot. So they were pretty entertaining, though, right?
So a reminder, drink water when you're out there boozing up with your three friends who really don't care that much about you. Second thing, I was downtown last Friday. For some business meetings. And as you may recall, we talked about Slotzilla. Oh no, there goes Tokyo. Oh no, Slotzilla. Ooh. Right, so guess what? They're actually building Slotzilla.
Are you surprised?
Yeah, well, you know, yes. We're right by Fountain Blue. We're right by Echelon. Yes, I am often surprised. There's a Ferris wheel down by Mandalay Bay that got two arms up and is like, well, we're 10 million in. We're done. So yes, I am surprised that things are actually happening. And so I took a picture. This is them actually pouring concrete for the actual Slotzilla part itself. So this is on the east side of the Fremont Street Experience. As a reminder,
what's it in front of?
It's in front of Neonopolis, Neapolitan thing.
Yeah.
And so what was cool is I was talking to Jeff Victor, the guy who runs the Fremont Street Experience, and he's like, right now they're just creating these huge holes, 60 feet deep. And they've got like 5 posts that they've got to put in there. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool.
In Florida, they have sinkholes that are 60 feet
deep. Yeah, right, and they're eating people. Right, and so they've got these huge, giant holes, 60 feet deep, and what's crazy about it is that 40 feet, there's an underground river underneath Fremont Street.
So what are they going to do about that?
They just, when they go down, they have to go down below that, but they have to use, you know, a special kind of concrete, and they have to put, like, metal meshes down there so that the water doesn't come up.
Yeah.
Doesn't come up and ruin the hole they just dug. So it's actually pretty complicated what they're doing right now. And as a reminder, so this thing, this Slotzilla, when it's going to be built, is going to be taller than the Viva Vision. It's going to be above it.
So they're planning on this thing being around for a while.
Oh, this is going to be the thing. I mean, this is it.
You're putting something in the ground 60 feet.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't sticking around for 5 years.
No, this is here. This is it for good. So this is just a reminder. It's going to be up above Viva Vision. It's a two-tiered deal, a zip line. So one zip line is kind of at the same level it is now. The other one, though, is above the canopy. You're going to fly Superman style through the canopy and go all the way to the end of Fremont Street, down to Main Street. So it's a huge ride.
Where you can then have your pants change after
where you can where after you crap yourself, right? And right now, they're supposed to be drilling the holes on the Main Street side. They're done here. On this side, they're supposed to be done this week, and now they're going to start on the Main Street side. So it's pretty exciting.
Well, and we were down on the strip this weekend, and we could see they're doing a lot of work at, you know, the quad. We went in the quad. Are you going to talk about that at all?
I'm not, but we should. Quad is good.
We were really surprised. We actually went inside. The quad was formerly IP.
Right.
And that's where they're going to build the link down there. That's all the Caesars Entertainment sort of district down there. And have you guys been in the quad? It's really,
it's beautiful. I
kept saying, wow, it doesn't smell in here. Because, you know, IP really had a very distinct sort of musty smell.
Yeah.
Old. And
the live audience is like, it's called old.
And
it was an old smell.
I just couldn't get over how it didn't, you know, I was like, gosh, it doesn't smell. The one thing that I thought was interesting at the quad is above its gaming tables, they had on like CNN News, which
yeah,
I thought
I've seen that. Well, they have that at Venetian, does that.
Really? I thought that was so weird. You know, people are gaming and. No, this was the news. This was like CNN or Fox.
Yeah, I've seen Venetian do that when we were doing something there.
Really?
Stuart has a question. The quad means nothing to us. Is it a common U.S. term? Yeah, quad is like in colleges, it's the center gathering place, typically on campus. Everybody meets in the quad. That's what that comes from. But we were surprised by it, how nice it looked.
It might be like a square to
Stuart,
like the square.
Yeah, and we also, and this is kind of off script here a little bit. Oh, crap.
That never happens.
Damn it.
You can get back on track, Doctor.
But I do want to say this. We haven't been on the strip in that area for a very long time, and we went by Margaritaville. And we were kind of fascinated by Margaritaville, too. This was kind of really
fun. Did you know they have a girl that's supposed to come out of the ceiling somewhere and slide down the slide into a big drink?
Yeah.
No. I've seen the big drink. I didn't know.
Well, that happens at our house all the time. But that old slidey. I'm going into the drink.
Yeah, I guess some girl does that. We didn't see it.
But it was good, huh? I mean, we were like, this is really pretty nice as well.
They had a live band in there.
Yeah, we were with Dave and Alicia, and they go to Margaritaville a lot, and they're like, this is really a pretty cool place. So thought that was kind of fun, didn't you?
Yeah, I had no idea.
But IP, it actually looks like this is going to be a pretty nice place.
It's modern on the outside. I mean, they're still working on it.
The quad. Yeah, the outside is still a mess, but the inside.
But, I mean, the design, what you can see is going to be very modern, the architecture.
Right, because we came in through
Carnival Court.
And you could tell already from just that little area, it looked, well, this is completely different.
And the car valet is back there, too. It's sort of back by Carnival Court now.
Yeah, so I really think they're doing some pretty cool stuff there. It's pretty neat.
We were,
you know, one of the things we wanted to talk about today is the idea of moving to Vegas. So was it a good idea or not?
And I think all of us have moved here, right?
Pretty much everybody here has moved here.
Natives.
Yeah, we've got everybody who lives here or who is here in the studio right now lives here.
Well, we all live here.
Right, lives here in Vegas. And I was thinking about it, whether this was a good idea or not. Did we do the right thing?
Were you pondering that?
Yeah.
And is this stemming from a recent conversation or just what you were thinking about today?
Actually, I want to talk about something before that. And this thing I'm about to talk about will actually fall into this. So I'm going to skip the moving to Vegas thing for a second. There was an article this weekend in the paper that was an outstanding article. This is in the Review Journal. Boop. Anybody else hear bubble inflating? It spoke about the housing market here. So it was probably one of the best written articles about what's happening here that I've read ever. And it was funny, when I read it, I immediately thought of Ted from Access Vegas, because he and I have been talking about just the housing world, and he kind of brought up what was going on. I'm not sure if you remember, but a couple, three episodes ago, we went out and looked at a bunch of new constructions. And the people were saying, the new construction agents were saying, you know, there's a low inventory, and that's why people are buying our houses again. And I didn't really think much about it, but in the live chat, Ted said, well, it's because of that shadow inventory.
Because they're still not releasing. They're still holding
homes. There's a bunch of houses. And I'm like, yeah, I've heard that, but I haven't seen anything. Well, this article actually speaks to it really clearly. And so I wanted to kind of just hit a couple parts. So first of all, when the foreclosure short sale thing happened, it happened in a big way here in Vegas. So it was all over the place. People were just dumping these houses. And then, for some strange reason, it stopped. And the reason is called AB 284, which was enacted in 2011. And basically, what it ended up doing was stopping banks from foreclosing on people. It just stopped it. So what it says here is most bank servicers have not been able to file notice of default since October 2011. And this has created an artificial shortage that is unprecedented. Now, this is interesting. So MLS, which is where you see all the houses that are for sale, right? There are now 380 bank-owned homes available, 466 short sales on the market, and 2,290 traditional sales. That's a really small number in a town or in a group that's about 2 million people. I think I read that's about a two-month inventory, and normally you want a six-month inventory for a normally balanced kind of housing market. So it's very, very small.
For a town our size.
Yeah. Well, you want a six-month anywhere.
Okay,
basically.
Whatever place
right.
you are. Okay.
But interesting, 59% of mortgages are still underwater in southern Nevada. So what's interesting is that they don't talk about what's really going on. There are 50,000 vacant homes in the valley. 50,000. And average owner occupants have slim or no chance of winning these offers. In other words, they're saying, hey, I want to refinance. And basically, the banks are going, no, we're not going to do it. So these 50,000 houses are sitting there. This is that shadow inventory that people were talking about. And so what's happening is after AB 284, many homeowners realize they could live free for a lot longer. So I know people who have lived for 2 years without paying a mortgage, right? You probably know people like that as well. In the article, it talked about people who have lived for 3 years without, and basically, yeah, 3 years or 4 years without making a mortgage payment. And now it has come to a virtual standstill. So as of this article, 74,000 homeowners here were 30 days late or more. 74,000. Isn't that unbelievable? That's such a huge, unbelievable number. So what happened was, you've got this artificial thing, then a bunch of hedge fund guys came in here and bought a bunch of houses. And the intent was, well, we're going to flip
fund,
it.
Hedge fund?
Yeah, people? Yeah. So let me see here. Major hedge funds have swept in Las Vegas with cash to buy as many homes priced below $250,000. Remember we talked about this summer, I think, where if you're going to buy a house for $250,000 or below, you have to come in with cash. They're not even financing those at all. So they're coming in with these houses for $250,000. They're buying them and then they're renting them out, stomping out any owner-occupant offer in their path, basically. So I lived here. I'm trying to make an offer. And the guy's going, I'll just pay you for the house. Boom. So they throw out the people who live there.
I didn't know hedge funds got involved
yeah,
in.
Started getting involved a year and a half.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So now, but what's also interesting is people who live here are sensing that, you know, the economy seems to be doing better, right? It feels like things are getting a little bit better here. Well, here's part of the reason. Having close to 80,000 homeowners not paying their mortgage has given a boost to our local economy. Think about it. Approximately 80,000 people times 1,200 is the average renter mortgage. That's $100 million a month. $100 million a month that's not going to mortgages. So that's $1.2 billion a year in the Las Vegas Valley that's not being paid for mortgages. So what's going on? So I can go to retail. I can buy a car. I can go to a restaurant. Boom. So let's see. 90 days after AB 284 was law, retail sales were up 13%. 90 days.
Wow.
Boom. Isn't that crazy? So now, the question is, what's going to happen now? According to this article, we'll see another 20% appreciation in price over the next 9 months. But then what happens after 9 months? Well, they think that AB 284 will be amended. The national settlement servicers will have sold most of their loans to new servicers who don't have to follow the same guidelines. Vacant homes and delinquent homes will be converted to available inventory in the second half of 2014. The second bubble will pop in less than a decade, or in less than a decade will begin. So they think what's going to happen is that, you know, we're seeing this slight growth of home values, but most of us are still underwater. And then it's going to go up, up, up. They're going to dump these 50,000 homes, and we're all going to go.
So they think they'll put all of them on the market at once.
Well, they didn't really say whether it was going to be at once or not. Oh, yeah, release 50,000 plus vacant homes now. Oh, well, this is their recommendation. What the article was saying is that they should do that now. Just release these homes now, because there are people in California, you know, who want to come here, but now they can't. Now it's different. Now it's becoming that ramp again of pricing, and it's more expensive again. So that's what got me to thinking.
Well, and you know, we were told that people can't find homes, and that's why people are going to new construction. You know, don't you have a friend that's a real estate agent? What are you hearing?
Well, when they talk, they can't be heard.
Oh, I'm just curious. Are you hearing similar things?
She's very busy.
Selling resale homes? So this real estate
homes, right.
Agent is selling mostly new homes.
And she used to do short sales.
Right. So, yes, Jacob.
I like to bring up an interesting kind of counterpoint and then another thing for discussion.
What is your lower third?
Is what?
Some people do, some people don't.
Some people do, some people don't. One, if you're not paying your house note, how can you go out and buy a new car? Because that's going to affect your credit.
Yep, that's right.
And then two is, if we continue this ramp up, do we get enough to a high enough point that when we go down, that housing prices are still above what they are today?
What was the second question?
If we keep ramping up and then house prices goes down, are we still going to be higher than we are today? Would be the question.
Well, we will, when right after it goes down, it depends on what time frame you're speaking about. So if you say, it's going to, like in the article, another 9 months, we're going to see an appreciation of housing. And then 9 months, one day they dump. Well, I think probably 9 months in a week, you're going to see houses depreciate again. And it will continue to, and that is simply based upon comps around. So if I dump 50,000 houses, banks are like,
that's
shit,
assuming
I gotta
they
get
put
these
all of them on the market at once.
And that's the other thing. The minute you put a house on the market, the banks then have to claim those on their financials. Yeah, so then they're going to puke these things away in a heartbeat because they don't care. Like, shit, get them out of there.
They do care.
I mean.
Because when they.
Problem is, I can't hear you is the problem. So, no, I can hear you, but the people can't hear you. So. It doesn't help.
I think that it's not in their best interest to put all of them on the market at one time.
I
think that they would do it more strategically than that. And you have to remember, this is one person's perspective. You know, you and I were talking about this over the weekend. You know, you do that, you stop paying your loan, it is years for you to repair your credit.
Well, that's interesting because
it is,
and you're probably right.
Years, seven years.
Well, that's interesting. Well,
three
that's
years,
right.
And, 3 years.
And I heard from, well, Ted was writing, he said, it's basically 2 years. You got to come in with 20%, but that's what we had to do.
Well,
we
that's going
to
be the, that's what's going to be required probably anyway.
Yeah. So it's 2 years or 3 years, not the 7 years that we, but and I'm not saying, I'm not being flip about your credit. We both have amazing credit. So I'm in no rush to go off and say, you know, screw you. We're not going to pay our house. That's not what I'm saying. But this is just, it's just been fascinating to watch what's going on here. Stuart has an interesting question. He's like, is Vegas still shrinking in population terms or has it turned back to growth? Now, when we first started the show, our tagline...
I don't know what the current one is.
I don't know either. The tagline of our show was, with 5,000 people moving here each month, somebody had to spill the beans. And so 5,000 people were moving here each month. That's 60,000 a year, which is a lot. It was the second fastest growing city in the country. But what you didn't know is that about 2,000 people, depending on the month, were also leaving at that same time. So it wasn't a net 60. It was something less than that. Clearly, when the economy took a crap, you know, I was thinking about this driving in. How many people do you know, or do you know anybody who has moved out of Vegas? I know of one person, one couple. Do you know of anybody? I've seen, like on Facebook, I'm leaving, but I don't, I mean, personally know anybody.
Well, I know people because I work
So at work, in your work environment.
Yeah, I know a lot of people from work who have taken jobs in other places.
So that did happen.
And I do know, when we moved here, you had a friend who had moved out of town, you know.
Stuart wrote something funny. After 2 years of not paying mortgage, who needs credit?
I just think.
Here's my bucket of money.
For me, I don't know. I think that people can lean towards hysteria. And get really ramped up, and I'm not of that nature, you know. I don't know. My grandfather always said, you know, buy stock and hold on to it for the long run, and you know, it worked out really well for him.
Yep.
So you know, and that was from, you know, he was a depression guy,
right.
Depression era, not that dissimilar to what we had happen. So I don't know. I'm not one to lean towards. Hysteria, that is one person's viewpoint.
Do you think that was hysteria in that article?
No, but I think people can react to that in a knee-jerk way or in an extreme way. And, you know, you have to look at more things. That is just one person's viewpoint on that. And there, you could probably read or talk to other people that would have a completely different viewpoint.
What would be the different viewpoint?
That, yeah, there. I mean, I think everybody knows there's homes that haven't been released yet, right? I mean, I think that's been a very common. That's not new information, but that the banks are probably not going to release them all at once. That is, the odds of that happening are pretty.
Well, probably not, but they'll
pretty slim.
My guess is they'll release enough to affect the market. That's my guess. They did it the first time. There's no reason why they wouldn't do it the second time. Is my guess. Anyway, so all this was going on. And we're like,
I don't think it's doomsday, though.
I didn't say it was.
You have to be really cautious.
Well,
you know,
I didn't say it was
to
doomsday.
I didn't say
it was doomsday. But nobody here will recover the value of their house. I mean, nobody.
See, that seems
there is
doomsday.
It's not doomsday. What we paid for our house, there is no way that we're going to make that money back. It will not happen. It's not doomsday. It's that. We paid at a time when it was overinflated, you know, and even so, this kind of brings me back to the idea of, was it a good idea to move to Las Vegas? And so the background for those of you, Mike will know because he's listened to every one of our shows now, and he could probably tell us why we moved here. But back in 03, we were living in California up in the Bay Area, San Francisco area, had two daughters. And both of them were in high school. And at that time, we weren't going to go anywhere. I mean, high school is very important to kids, right? And you know, we hadn't really talked about going anywhere, but we wanted to let them get through high school, and they did. And once we realized that they were out of high school, and we moved to where we moved in California because of the high school. I mean, it was an important part of our decision-making process.
Yep.
But they were done. And then we thought, well, okay, you know, it doesn't make sense for us to be here. And so you know, part of the reasons why we looked to move was the housing market. Now, we were in Northern California, and our house, well, the house that we have now, even at the price that we did pay for it, was 40% of the cost and 60% larger than the house we had in California. So we had a little small house in a nice neighborhood in California, but it was not very expensive. And then we got this house here, which is, like I said, 60% larger, 40% of the cost. So that was part of the motivation, was, wow, we can get a real nice brand new house. We were very excited about that, right? And of course, from a business perspective, if you run your own company, which I do, Nevada is very business friendly, right? And from a tax perspective, it's very, you know, we don't have to pay state income tax like you do in California, right? It's just federal tax here. So there was a lot of those business things that we liked. Weather. We like the weather, right? Melissa and I are really sunshiny kind of people. Well, she's more sunshiny than me, I would argue, but we like sunshine, right?
We love it.
And the Bay Area, it can be cold.
Well, the South Bay is nice, but it's, you know, a hot day there is 80, right? So 85, it's, you know, a heat wave.
Right, and you know the old joke, Mark Twain said, the coldest winter I ever had was a summer in San Francisco.
It is. It can be really cold in the city. But we lived in an hour south of the city.
So part of the motivation was our housing would be better.
Are we on this section where we're talking about whether or not it was a good decision?
Yeah, we're in that process now.
Oh, okay.
Right. See, part of what makes a great show is rehearsal.
Well, I think that's part of our charm. I wasn't sure if we'd made the transition.
Yes, we just transitioned now. Okay. Because that was the part of it was that idea, right? It was, okay, well, let's think about what are the reasons to move here. Why do we move here? And this is in 03. October in 03 is when we end up buying the house that we're currently in, right? So we bought in 03, October of 03. We took possession in April of 04. And so for a little while, we actually had two houses. Now, we refinanced our first house, so having both houses was actually cheaper than what we first bought our first house for. So April of 04, we had our house. It became our vacation house. I thought that was pretty cool. You know? And then in August of 05, we moved here. So we were just at the... So if this is the chart of housing value, we moved in right about there. Right? It was about another year or so of craziness going on here. And... It was kind of an exciting time. I mean, I thought it was actually a lot of fun. We really enjoyed. I enjoyed all of the things being built and the construction and the cranes.
Open houses.
I love that stuff. It was like, God, we're really being a part of this thing. This cool wave. Now the other part is the business thing. I work from home, or I worked from home back then, and Melissa had a job with a big company. And you were able to keep the job at the big company, right? So there was no big deal there. And at the time I moved here.
You mean I worked from home for the same company back in the Bay Area.
They let you do that, right?
Yep. I moved to Nevada, but just continued working remotely
from home. And at the time I was heavily into music, and I was selling music CDs and performing and doing those kind of things. And then got into podcasting. And I won't go through that whole story, but basically I started to do podcasting.
Oh, because otherwise we would net you. I don't even think we're going to get the commentary in 55.
All right.
Just joking. Go ahead. So we moved to Vegas. What do you think?
There's two groups. There's the personal thought. And then there's the business thought.
Well, I'm just saying 90% of the time, I do think it's a good idea that we, I'm happy that we moved.
Right.
I have a very close-knit group of friends.
In the Bay Area.
And they're, they're like sisters to me. So, I do sometimes, really have times where I really miss them. And, we used to do a lot of stuff together, and they are sort of at the stage in their lives where they don't even see each other all the time. So it's all okay. But there are times where they're getting together for each other's birthdays, and I can't be there. So there's times where I miss them.
Right.
There are times when I sometimes miss really hardcore. I always worked for technology companies. So there are times when I really miss, sort of super geeky technology people.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I am not super geeky or
technical. You are the core killer.
I know. It's really funny. But I do find working with those people engaging because I think because they are the opposite of me and I learn from them. And so I'm intrigued by them.
Okay, poke them. Poke. You're intriguing.
Yeah. What an odd little thing you are. So, I do miss that. I do miss, there are some things about sort of just like the Bay Area has a certain culture sometimes, that sort of California, I don't know how to describe it, thing, which is kind of nice. Let's go down to the whatever, chicken coop and sit outside and drink coffee and hang out and talk.
With your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is kind of that.
So 90% you're happy.
Absolutely.
Right. So here's what I think. So I look at the business side first.
Is this where you're getting ready to tell me we're moving?
We're moving. It's our last show. Just kidding.
Are you kidding? He loves Vegas.
So that's an interesting point. All right. So business perspective, business side.
Was me talking about what I liked about California. I didn't talk about Vegas.
Well, talk about Vegas.
No, I think we should talk about what you miss about California.
Oh, similar things. I want to talk about kind of my experience here and contrast it with, you know, my experience in California. And so the weather, for example, I love the weather in the summer here. It's colder here than I thought it was in the winter. It's windier here.
Oh, heck yeah. We can get ice on our pool.
We get a little freaked out about that. We're like, hey, what's with this 20 degrees nonsense? I got to put a blanket around my tree? That's crazy.
Or your pool pump?
Yeah, we got to pump our pool 24 hours a day so it doesn't freeze. It's those kind of things. So that was a little odd. But, you know, you can live with that. Is that snow on my ground? What the hell's going on here?
We were surprised that first year.
I had a friend who lived here before we moved here, and she moved, she said, for two reasons. A, she said it was too windy.
We didn't realize in the spring how windy it gets here.
It's crazy windy. Right?
It gets crazy windy.
Yeah. And the second thing she said, and I can't relate to this because we're married, is that she said it was hard to meet single people. She was single. And she said she really struggled with meeting quality single people. And she was, you know, my age, or I think she might be a year older than me. And I don't really know what she did to do that. I don't know if she did like a meetup or whatever. This is a transient town. So for whatever reason, people do come here a lot who have dreams of grandeur, and not necessarily in the gaming or entertainment world. They just think this is the place to be to create something.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen here.
Whatever that is.
And it doesn't. And so they come here and go, or 6 months, 8 months, and they're out. So that, I have seen that kind of thing happen here. So I think if it was single, it might be a little bit more difficult to meet people than, say, in the Bay Area. I mean, we met online. So I was a pimp. And actually, I was a prostitute. please don't hate me.
What are you talking about? I just want you to give me half your earnings.
So perk. Right. Well, you already got that, princess. Way to go. Half of zero, I believe, is zero. So then there's the whole professional, the business side. So one of the things that is so obvious here is that the level of professionalism in Las Vegas is a fraction of the professionalism in the Bay Area. A fraction.
Well, we have very different experiences with that because I work
That's right.
I work in a very large corporate, you know, environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're an entrepreneur. So you're out there, you know, really, you know, at the front lines.
That's true.
Doing, you know.
But I will say this.
Working directly to do business. Yep.
And part of why I say it's a fraction as a whole is I'm not talking just entrepreneur to entrepreneur. No. I'm talking about dealing with people who are in big companies here in Las Vegas, and their level of professionalism is nothing compared to what I've seen in the Bay Area. So that's been a little disturbing. I also believe that from a technology standpoint, very much like what Melissa said, Vegas is about 4 years behind technology in the Bay Area. So that's been frustrating to watch. I will say this, though. I have met some of the coolest entrepreneurs ever here in Vegas. And I'm not talking just in the entertainment world. I'm talking just doing other things, nothing to do with entertainment, who I really respect. And I really didn't meet a lot of people like that in the Bay Area. So overall, professionalism.
And they're really supportive, too, I feel.
I think so. I think in some cases, I think there's also, you know, some noise around the Las Vegas stuff of people who aren't very supportive, but the people who are trying to do good work, I think, are supportive, and that's kind of fun. From a personal standpoint, I think men have less friends than women tend to do as a practice. It's not as important for, I think, a lot of men to have a lot of friends. And so I actually think there are more, it feels to me that there are more people that we might go out with at night here than when I was in the Bay Area. But most of those friends were your friends, who were friends with me as well, but they were initially your friends. So I think that might be part of it.
Well, and that could be just a difference. You know, when we were in the Bay Area, we had kids at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were sort of in the child rearing ages and, you know, the time of our lives, and we we're not going to be out all night and running around doing the things that, you know, we didn't have the same freedom that we have today. We did a lot more things, you know, there, like we would have, you know, more parties at our house, you know, potlucks.
Yeah, we did.
We did a lot of potlucks, you know, where, you know, we weren't going out as much as staying in. Remember, play that silly spoons game and things like that. So it was more of a, you know, we're going to be at home and people's kids might be running around. And it was more that kind of environment
the one
there.
The one thing I can't remember, though, is for us here, if I want to go out for an evening, I mean, holy crap, it doesn't get any better. Food, entertainment, I'm in the best place in the world for that. And I literally can't remember what we would do other than go to a movie in the Bay Area. I mean, to me, it's just so not the same as what's going on here. So I love that about
it. But you know what is so funny is I so miss going to the movies. Isn't that
funny?
Well,
we can go to the movie here. We do go to the movie.
What was the last movie we saw?
I don't know. I think it was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. No? Or as you put it, Shitty Shitty Bang Bang. You crush,
no, seriously.
You crush your dreams.
You can't even think of the last movie.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
We never go to movies. I do. I miss going to movies.
So overall, you're 90% happy.
Yeah.
And I am too. Thank you for letting me be happy with you. All right. So overall, it's been
you're
okay.
So crazy.
It's good. I would do it. Would you do it again?
Yes.
Would you move here today? Oh, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
You know what it is? When we moved here, the unemployment was 4%. It was unbelievable, which means there is no unemployment. Anybody who wanted a job had a job. The other thing that I do want to bring up is that was when I think, I don't know for a fact, but my guess is high school graduation rates were pretty low back then. And the reason I believe that is because mom and dad were making six figures as a valet, and it's very hard to convince Sammy, hey, Sammy, you should get a degree, a high school degree. Really? Why, Dad? You're making $100,000 a year parking cars. Why the hell would I do that and also get an $80,000 debt?
Right.
Today, you know, Sammy's not, you know, in that same, Daddy's not out there making $100,000 anymore. So I think that may have changed. But it's different. Back then it was again, the Wild West. People were making tons of money in here. It was fascinating to watch. But if I had kids, I would not move here.
Well, I don't know about that.
Absolutely not. You know why? Because, first of all, this is the fifth or sixth largest school district in the country. All of this is one giant school district as opposed to being sliced up like most places do of this size. And I have yet to hear a good thing about a public school. There are some amazing private schools here, amazing private schools. But they're, I don't know, 20 grand a pop to put put Johnny through there.
Well, there's the Lutheran, which is one of the top private schools
Country. Gorman is private.
Which is $9,700 a year. So if you're not Faith Lutheran, is one of the best private schools in the country. And it's $9,300 or $9,700. And if you're not paying state income taxes, then that's not... You know, that's not really that bad.
Well, $10,000, two kids, that's $20,000. Are you going to make up $20,000 in state income tax? We wouldn't have.
Well, I'm just saying my little school back home is probably that much.
Well,
back in my little podunk little
well,
town. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't one of the best private schools in the country. But, you know, I think that, you know, in my role, I am aware... You know, that there are some good schools. There's a school, and I can't think of the name of it, in Henderson, up near Anthem, and their mascot is a cougar. I know that they are one of the...
Here she is right now. Maxine, come on.
They were, like, rated one of the best high schools. You know, they have just really, really great high school. And then there's a...
We got a lot of those emails when we first started the show and people were
Green
moving in
Valley
here.
Green Valley High School has...
Like, how's the school district? How's the school district? How's the school district? And we're like,
Green Valley
go,
is supposed to have a
check.
Really great, you know, like marching band program and a decent school. So, you know, there are some, you know, good schools out there. I heard Palo Verde over in Summerlin is good.
Right.
So, you know, there are good private schools. Public schools.
Jackie in the live chat has a good question. She wants to know, do you guys ever see yourself leaving? And if so, under what circumstances?
I don't think so. You know, you were asking if I would move here today, and I was thinking, gosh, where would I go? So, you know, since I've been here, right, you know, we've talked about this, where else would you, if you didn't live here, where would you want to live, right? And when we moved here originally, we didn't think we would live here forever. We didn't think we would probably retire here.
Right.
And we do think we're going to retire here now.
We do now, yes.
But I don't know. The only other place that I could think of that might be interesting is Austin.
Right, you love Austin. Hook 'em horns.
But there's other issues with Austin, right? You know, I think that it's
humidity.
It might be a little too humid for you.
Well, we were thinking about retiring in Florida. Well, and the reason why is because my dream is to have a waterfront property where I can have a boat. Scott Dock. We actually had it in our retirement thing, Scott Dock. I want a dock where I can get in a boat and, you know, bubble around. And I mean not like late Las Vegas bubble. I mean cruise around. And that was really our thing. And we went on vacation in Mexico in September, and it was unbelievably humid. It was oppressive. And the people we happened to be bumping into somebody in the pool, and they were all from Florida. And we were like, wow, man.
They
seem you guys
very comfortable.
Where are you guys from? I thought we're from Vegas. Where are you guys from? Florida. Oh, man. We were thinking about retiring down there because there's tons of waterways there. There's, you know, streams and rivers and stuff and all kind. I'm like, that's great. I'm like, well, this is so humid. You know, what's it like in Florida? And they're like, you think this is humid? You think what we're doing right now is humid? He goes, this is a dry day in Florida, brother. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, this is nothing. I'm like,
That night, Florida was taken off the list.
Yeah, literally, I was like, yeah, we're not moving to Florida now. You know that, right? We're hanging out here. Let's build a boat because Daddy's not going to Florida if that's what it's like. So to end this segment, and I know that we're going to hit the ender. I'm feeling pretty good about that. We're gonna say that we would move here again back then. Now it's a little bit different. You know, it's about having a job.
Would you move here again?
Yes, probably I would. I would in our circumstance because, you know, no kids and all. If I had kids, I'd have to think a lot harder about it. My circumstance is that I would absolutely move here again, for sure. But if I had kids, and I wouldn't, you know. And if it was a year ago, when all hell was breaking loose, you don't have to. Maybe not. I don't know. I haven't done the research. So maybe there are great schools that don't cost $20,000 a pop. And if that's the case, right. But it would have to be, you know, financially viable for me to do that. And we came here to save money. I didn't come here to get even. I came here to save money. That was the intent. So if I come across and be even, well, then there's got to be other reasons just to, you know, to be out of a state.
Right.
If I come across and I'm even, there's no value. I mean, if all your friends live in California and we move here to Nevada and you've got no friends here.
Well, I've got friends here.
You don't have. When you first move here,
you
know what I mean? When you first move here, you've got no friends here, and so you don't.
Yeah,
you don't come across and go, I'm even, and I'm, you know, I'm friendless. That would kind of suck. You know, you're in a better place financially. Now you're going to go out and meet people. That's it. So overall, we kind of like it. All right, let's take a break. Before I get, you know, stoned by the audience. You don't like Vegas? Fuck you. All right. That's pretty good. All right, we're taking a quick break, and we're going to give you the favorite 5 places to eat off-strip. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Be right back.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Hey, so we were kind of talking a little bit. Our house appreciated hugely after we left, another 20%. It was, you know, a silly amount of money that house was worth, and it's back down to, I think, probably about where it was when we left.
Wait, are you talking about the...
In Los Gatos?
Yeah, it's got good value.
Yeah.
Those homes there, there's such a shortage of land there that...
Yeah. All right, so let's... Favorite 5. We're going to do a favorite 5, Yos. We haven't done this for a while.
Yos.
And, I should have got my little spinner thing. Oh, damn it. Anyways, so favorite 5 are 5 favorite things. For example, we did a show where Melissa's 5 favorite things about me. And that show was under. Come on. That was fucking awesome.
You want your wheel?
Yeah, I made my wheel. So 5 favorite things about Scott. That show was about a minute. So here it is. We're going to do this, and let's see. You probably can't see it. Oh, 5 favorite restaurants dot on the strip. Excellent. So that's what we're going to do. 5 favorite restaurants not on the strip, and we're going to start with number 1. Number 1 restaurant, are you ready?
Are these in order?
They're in
preference?
No particular order.
Okay.
Right? We are agnostic about these. We just love them all for a variety of reasons. First one up, the closest to where we are sitting right now, Barrymore. Why do you love it?
Because I think it has a cool vibe.
Very cool vibe. There it is, right there. Oh, geez, look at that. That was,
whoa.
That was crazy.
Don't blink. I think it has a cool vibe, and the food was good. I like that sort of independent out there.
Very independent. $1 million-plus restaurant. These are some photos of it. Small number of seats. I think it'll hold, I think it's got 12 or 13 total tables in there. Reasonably priced. It's not the super high-end $50 steaks. Like the skirt steak was like $35 around there.
Did they remodel in there?
Mm-mm. No, it's the same.
I was just looking at the pictures, and I thought it was all blue in there, and that looked like it was gold and looked different to me.
Well, it depends on the photographer and all that kind of fancy photography stuff. True. Anyways, so you walk in. It's located at 99 Convention Center Drive, which is at the Royal House, they call it now. It actually says Royal Resort. Just right next
to
our studio here.
Small
thing, little hotel. It's been around forever. They're upgrading the whole property, and the initial idea was to start with Barrymore. So the company that runs Barrymore also runs Public House, one of our favorite restaurants at the Venetian. And I think on one of those photos, Jacob, on the website, it actually shows all the other properties that they own.
It lists it on the right.
Yeah. And so, but pardon me?
You want to read them off?
Yeah, please.
Hang on 1 second.
And, I can't actually see it. It's cut off. Public House.
Doesn't that look different?
Public House?
No, that's the right one.
Looks like Earth Burgers, Holstein's, LBS, and Pink's.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I like Holstein's.
And that's the bar that you walk into. Real nice bar. They've got a great outdoor seating place, a patio, another shot of the bar. It's really a great place. And they've also done something that's very, very smart. They have a wine list. I think it's 50 under 50. So 50 bottles of wine for under $50. And they're really good wines. And we did that for our anniversary. I think we were there for our anniversary.
I can't remember what it was, but it was nice.
And they have a nice bar
to go if you're just going to have cocktails. And the outdoor area is nice. And you don't have to deal with strip parking, you know,
right.
If you want to go and meet people out for cocktails.
I had a business meeting right there yesterday. So,
it's great. Nice. I think it's really nice. And I think a lot of people, it got a lot of buzz when it first opened.
Huge buzz. Still gets buzz. USA Today, one of the best restaurants in Vegas. Variety of other places. This is a great place. So it's Barrymore's at 99 Convention Center, right next door. Next is View Wine Bar. How about that one?
Yeah, I really like View Wine Bar.
So where's that?
This is at Tivoli over in Summerlin.
I went out of order. Sorry, Jacob.
Near Boca Park. Oh, do you want me to?
No, I did that because I wanted to end with this one here.
Oh, okay. So you can see there. And what's nice is it's in Tivoli. It's upstairs. And so they have these big windows, these big picture windows that look out sort of over the street. This area is being really developed with a lot of new restaurants. What's nice is at this bar they will have live music sometimes.
A little jazz going on.
Yeah, and it's also another great place to go have cocktails.
Yep.
We've had food there as well. The food was great. Yep. They have a great wine list.
Yeah. I did notice that everybody has a slight shake. They pour.
Really? Yeah. Tivoli is really a fun place to go to walk around. They have a few little shops. On the weekends, they have a farmer's market there, but they're bringing in a lot of new restaurants, and I can't remember the name of there's a person here in town that does a lot of development that is investing a lot of money in new restaurants at Tivoli, Bradley Ogden, I think it is,
right. Is
taking over the Burgers and Brew restaurant over there. And another person opened up a restaurant called the Poppy Den. That's supposed to be new and like a Mediterranean type place. So
it's good.
Yeah, View Wine Bar is great though. I like being upstairs, having live music, good food, really great wine list. So that was really great.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Lotus of Siam.
One of my favorites, because I love Thai food. You're not a huge fan, I know.
No.
It doesn't look like, if you ever come here, if you've ever been there, on the outside, you feel like maybe you should not get out of the cab or your car and just keep going.
East Sahara. When you're done at the Lotus of Siam, you can head over to the Green Door.
Well, it's like between,
right?
Which is a swingers club, yes. But this is between Las Vegas Boulevard and Paradise on Sahara. It looks from the outside like a dump, but this place is one of the best Thai restaurants in town. And they got a great menu of Thai food, great, a pretty big beer menu.
Yeah.
Which for me, I like to have beer with my Thai food.
Right.
But I think it's fabulous. I love their food over there.
It's actually pretty good.
I know you're not a big fan, but
it's very good for Thai, and I'm not a big Thai fan.
And when you get inside, it's not bad inside, is packed.
Always packed. Lunch, dinner. Doesn't matter what time of day that place
is. There's a lot of people that don't know. I mean, obviously, a lot of people must know about it because it is busy.
Yep.
One time we were staying on the strip for a friend's birthday, and so we took a cab over there, and the cab driver was like, I bring so many people here from the strip. So
a lot of concierge. Jackie actually said Lotus of Siam has a huge reputation, for tourists and all. So that's it.
It's delicious.
Next one. Your favorite food is what?
Pizza.
And your favorite restaurant is?
Well, my favorite
pizza
restaurant. I love DuForni.
DuForni.
Now, that may change here soon.
Right, and we're going to talk about that in a second. DuForni is out in the sticks a little bit. It's at the, if you look at the 215, which wraps around Vegas, where it makes from a south turn to an east turn, the lower southwest part is where DuForni is. It's right off of, is it Town Center?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, it's off of Town Center. We actually had the guy who runs it on top of the food chain, real nice guy. And they're doing, now these are fancy pizzas.
Right?
Alex, fancy pizzas. Now, this is
they're
not
fancy,
your,
and they're not cheap.
Yeah, this is not your $5.99 for two pizzas and
this
and
is not pizza
sticks.
Pizza.
Yeah, it's not pizza pizza. It's not Pizza Hut.
Oh, but it's so good. And fresh, all their stuff is like quality, premium, Nooski bacon.
Nooski.
It's all fresh, premium ingredients.
Very good.
And delicious. They cook them in, these real authentic Italian ovens.
Oh, yeah. There are these ovens that are, how
500 degrees? 900.
Yeah.
But not.
So the pizza cooks for 90 seconds. Shoot.
And they have their cocktail menu, they have colorful ways of describing their cocktails. But it's not just their pizzas that are good. Their salads are delicious. Yeah. I don't even like beets, and their beet salad is amazing.
And they make their own limoncello.
Well, there is that.
Which, by the way, when we were in Rome, was it Rome? What was the place we were in?
Sorrento.
There is all these little places where everybody was making their
Which
own limoncello.
In Italy.
Yeah, Italy, thanks. And I'm like, tried my first limoncello. I love lemon, by the way. It's one of my favorite flavors. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh God. Limoncello is really good after about the fifth one.
You gotta shake off the first couple.
Right, I was like, what the hell is this? The fifth one, you're like, hey, mon ami, or whatever the word is in Spanish. Hey, bappity bappity bam, bam, bam. And so these guys make their own limoncello. I'm like, Alex, I really don't want to have this. Hey, Buff Betty. It's pretty good, actually. So, yeah.
It is delicious. All their
Making
food is really
cool.
Great. I've had some of their, a couple of their appetizers there. It was delicious. And I think that I had a chocolate pizza there. It was fabulous. I think that I can't remember if I had that with Sally and Cheryl or friends from work. I know I've had a chocolate pizza there. It was fabulous.
All right. And then finally, our fifth favorite five off-strip restaurants. We have gone there for some important things. Amore things. I love you.
I love you.
You love me.
What is it?
Vintner Grill.
Oh, yes.
Vintner Grill is awesome. Same thing DuForni. It's in a regular business park. It's kind of a weird place. And Vintner Grill is even more in a business park. If you're not looking for it, you will not find it. It's off of Charleston, a little east of Red Rock. And man, probably first or second on my list of restaurants off the strip. Super fancy. You know,
nobody looks bad there. The lighting there.
Lighting's good.
Everybody looks so great. In fact, I've been looking at myself on here. I haven't had a lot of sleep lately. I'm like, dang, I'm looking tired. I could use not these lights, but maybe some Vintner Grill.
A little Vintner Grill
in here. Yeah.
Great food.
So the lighting is great. They play these old movies in there. They have a really nice bar if you just want to go meet somebody for cocktails.
Yep.
It can be a little loud in the bar area. It's not because there's a lot of people. I think the acoustics just aren't very good in there. But it's a really soft, it is a romantic, you know, vibe in there.
Yep.
But it also would be a great place to go, you know, just with a group of girlfriends. You know, you're going for lunch or you're going, you know, with a bunch of friends at, you know, at dinner. We've gone there with groups of friends before and had a great time. And you know what? We've not
outdoor
done.
Outdoor dining.
Outdoor dining. We've not done that.
No, we haven't. It looks great.
But they have these little nooks outside, like in this little weird garden area built into like rocks. I don't know how they've done it, but that looks really fabulous.
Amazing wine list, great food, good service. Actually, our very first guest on Top of the Food Chain was the chef from there. What's that word, charcuterie? That's it, right?
Charcuterie.
They have that going on
there. I never can say it properly. But we need Jackie here. She can
help us. So that's it. That's our top five. Barry Moore, Vintner Grill, Duforney, Lotus
of
Siam.
I'm sure you guys in the audience probably have your list of places that you
and
like.
And View Wine
Bar. I know
Wine
you guys
Bar.
Have a burger place you like.
Now, there's also a few off-strip that we haven't tried that is on our list. And our first one, we're real excited for. Dave and Alicia have dipped into the entrepreneurial pools, those crazy kids.
From Pub Crawl.
From Pub Crawl, right. Our very first show to launch on the Vegas Video Network was Pub Crawl. And Dave and Alicia have bought a restaurant, and it's called Wicked Pizza, and it's located in the Underground Bar, which is off of some street that just escaped me.
In the Underground or
Decatur?
No.
Yeah, it's Decatur.
Is it in the bar or is it next door to the bar?
It is in the bar. So it was a previously owned food place. And they went in there and bought it. And so Dave's in there 13 hours a day right now figuring out how to make pizza. And he's very excited.
He's throwing pizzas and stuff. I think he's figuring.
He's very excited. We saw him this weekend, and they're both pretty excited. They're working hard. And the pizza dough comes from Boston. You know, it's that kind of
stuff.
Made
with Boston water.
They're really doing good work, it seems.
And not just pizza. They've got some other specialty things. Like, they have a slider that...
A peanut butter and jelly slider, but it's got meat.
PB&J slider made with a hamburger.
Yeah, crazy.
But I hear I have to try it, so I'm very curious to go and
so
try it.
So people in our audience today, our live studio audience, will be heading over there right after the show, as a matter of fact, to try out Wicked Pizza, owned by the Ivies. Surprisingly enough, we haven't tried Piero's, which is just down the street here from us. We've had drinks there before. We haven't eaten there. We've heard really good things about Piero's. As you can see, it's a fancy schmancy, dark kind of classic, you know, Sinatra-esque kind of vibe. But we haven't eaten there.
And historic.
And,
like,
yeah, it's been there for 30 years
Vegas.
Or something like that. And that's the bar. Haven't gone there. We want to go there. Vix, Vegas Vic, who has been on the network a few times. He was on, what was that show? America? No. He was a... Pick a chef winner award thing, top chef kind of thing. Super nice guy. He's all tatted up, bald guy, real fun. So he opened up a restaurant called Vic's in an interesting spot. This is in Sun City Anthem, the retirement area down there.
So we'd have to do an overnighter.
Yeah, right, because it's down in us. Right. It's down in
no, we
Mexico.
Are really,
yeah,
we
Phoenix.
Are excited to go and try it. I really, really want to go down there and try it because I'm a big fan of Vic, so I want to go down there and support him.
Next Food Network star.
Yes.
That
yes,
was the name
yes.
of it. Thank you, Jackie. So we're going to go check out Vic's at some point. And finally on our list of places to try is Meatball Spot, which is, that got a huge response from the audience.
Guess where we're going.
And that's owned by the gal in the middle there, who I've seen her nipples.
Well, and she used to run that Italian place over at Tropicana.
Yep, and she ran somewhere before that as well. She's kind of well known. What's her name?
Carla Pellegrino.
And so she's all really well known in the foodie world, and her nipples are about this big.
Do you guys have a restaurant you think we should try? Just shout it out.
Quickly. Oh, I'm sorry. Time's up. And that's it.
Nope. Jacob? Right.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's it. Where are we at time-wise here?
Cash and over tickets, baby. 105.
Right. Well, then we're going to skip the rest of the show. Well, I'm done.
Come on.
I was going to do an email. I'm not going to do the email. So that's it. We're all done. Hey, if you want to check us out, if you want to be a part of the show, you can email us at onairq.
Or if you want to, if you have a top five idea that you'd
like
us to do.
Yeah, if you've got a top five idea, send it to onairq@livinginlv.com. You could do that. That'd be great. Of course, if you want to be a part of the show, if you want your dulcet tone heard on our show, you could use our web-based voicemail. You just head to the website. You'll see a little red guy on the side. You click that bad boy. Next thing you know, zippity-zop, a little start recording button pops up. You have to have a microphone hooked up to your computer. That seems fair. And then
helpful.
You record it, and then we're going to put you on the show, and your whites will be whiter, your brights will be brighter. And, of course, our favorite, of course, is the live chat. The new rule for the live chat is you must change the color of your name. It cannot be black, or Jackie will cut your head off. And she's tough. I've seen her. You know, that guy was tipping over drunk. I saw her give her a little bit, give him a little elbow. She's not to be toyed with.
It's not
just
true.
Just so you know. Boom! Get up.
That's not true.
She's tough.
She hugged him.
She'll kick your ass.
She hugged him.
She did hug him. Said, you're going to be okay.
Come on, buddy.
You feel like you're on an ocean? She's kind of mean, Jackie. She's like making him try to, come on, puke it out. Puke it out. You'll be okay.
She wasn't.
No, she didn't ask.
You're lying.
Kidding. I'm kidding. Jackie's like, I did not. I didn't do that. All right, that's it.
She was hugging him.
Thanks to the live studio audience. Woo! And, of course, thanks to Jackie's live chat. That's what we'll call it now moving forward. All right. We'll see you guys next week. And for Melissa, my 90 Jelly Sweet, I'm Scott Whitney, and we say bye. I don't know. See you later. I run. What do you want from Ticket.